Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. Rob told me earlier that I need to be a little bit more energetic tonight because he's tired. So, we're going to do some calisthenics before we get started. Just kidding. We are starting a... Sorry, I can't walk around. I forgot my wireless mic, so I'll have to stand here tonight. But Rob just came to the window and smiled at me. we just started last week this thought of facing life alone. And it can be looked at in a bunch of different angles, whether one's been divorced, never been married, and you've started your life and you're living it on your own right now. It could be that you lost a spouse. There's all kinds of different scenarios as to why you may be living in your home alone and you're facing life alone in that regard. Doesn't mean that you're completely alone. You know that you have family and you have friends and you have other people around you. But as we start tonight, I want to read this comment. It says, "I can be in a crowd of people and still feel completely alone. Sometimes it just doesn't matter how much people do or try to help you. It doesn't necessarily make those feelings of loneliness, depression, or anything else go away." Some people might say, "Well, I recognize the problem of feeling lonely, but what exactly can I do about it?" One suggestion is to try to determine what exactly sparks that loneliness. Maybe you feel it most when you're eating breakfast or you're eating supper alone. Or maybe it's on rainy days or Saturdays in the evenings where you used to have that pleasant companionship with a loved one and it's just not there anymore. And once you figure out what it might be, isolating that thing, understanding it, you can maybe make some adjustments to help you during that time. Maybe it is a time where you can get together with some friends and do something rather than being home alone to help soften the severity and frequency of that feeling. One divorced man discovered that what brought on his feelings of loneliness was coming home to a dark, dreary apartment. So what did he do? He said, "I painted the entrance hall a warm color and hung some of my favorite pictures there. Then I bought a lamp, which I leave on when I go out. I find it makes all the difference in my mood." Of course, in your case, it might be something completely different, and you just need to make some of those adjustments along with it. Some people need to recognize that there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. There is a difference. For instance, a lot of us can say, "I just need my moment of solitude. I need a fortress of solitude. I need a place where I can go just to be alone." I know, you know, for Carly and I, you know, we have kids, and you can't even go to the bathroom alone. You're just looking for that moment where you can you just stop for 1 second, and you're looking for that moment to just breathe and think and figure out some things that you haven't been able to do because you've been so busy with other people or other things going on. But we like our moments of being alone, of having that solitude and having the opportunity to think or maybe do some things on our own that we don't necessarily want to do with a bunch of other people. So we all understand the advantages of being alone at times, but there are times when we can still feel lonely, even as the statement at the beginning said, even when you're in the midst of a crowd and feeling lonely in that moment. But recognize that there can be some advantages to being alone. You can take advantage of that fact. One person said this about their particular feelings of loneliness, and it was an interesting situation. It was a 31-year-old widow named Monika in Maryland. And she had in her kitchen a small sign that read, "I hate cooking." Well, she had a couple that came over to her apartment to visit with her, and they read that sign, and here they are for dinner. And they're thinking, she hates cooking. She must be really bad at it. You know, I mean, this isn't going to turn out well for us. Maybe we'll just order takeout. You know what? But she cooked a meal. They ate it, and they said it was one of the most delicious meals they had ever had. But the reason she hated cooking was because she couldn't do it for her husband anymore. And that's what bothered her the most, is when she cooked, she was so used to cooking for someone else, not just herself. So understand that feelings of loneliness are brought on by a multitude of different reasons and different things that happen in our lives. And we need to be aware of them, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ. Here we are. We need to be able to lean on one another. We need to be able to encourage and build each other up. And if we don't recognize the fact that someone's going through something like this, where maybe they have lost a spouse, maybe they are separated, they feel the pressures of society, because I know that there are some single people that, you know, they either are not thinking about marriage, or they wish they were married, but they just haven't found anybody yet. And there's those feelings that come up in their lives, and we need to be aware of those that might be struggling with some of these particular things. You can also undertake, if you're alone and you have that situation in your life, you can take on a number of different practical steps to help fight loneliness. You speak with someone who cares, a friend, a relative, someone that you have confidence in, and explain to them, I really have trouble on this day or at this particular time of the day. Would it be okay if I give you a call? Or would it be okay if we could maybe sometimes get together on that day? You could call it with the call. You could call it, you know, just this hotline, you know, obtaining some emotional support from feeling that loneliness in those particular times. And one other thing to note with that, sometimes we feel like we are being a burden to someone else when we're feeling down, or we're feeling lonely, or we have some sort of situation where we know we want someone and we want to talk to them and we want to be around someone, but we feel like, oh, I just don't want to be a burden to that person. Let me tell you, it's actually exciting that someone actually might need you in that moment, especially when there's someone that's a friend and someone that loves you and cares for you, and they might not know what you need or what you're looking for. Well, if you can let them know, it makes all the difference in that relationship, where they can then know, it's important for me to talk to you on this day. And when they see that phone call on their cell phone or on their home phone come through, to recognize and see that and say, all right, I can do something right now. I can be a help to my sister or my brother in Christ, and we can get through this together. Also, think about taking on some interests that you may have had before that you really didn't have the time for. Some people really like to garden, but you know, I just didn't have the time before because we were always doing all these things, but now I have some of that extra time. Well, get busy. Start planting that garden. Maybe you always wanted to paint the living room. Well, you might have the time to do that now. Paint the living room. Get to it. Start working on a hobby or something of special interest, whether it's learning a new language or how to play a musical instrument. Undertake an exercise program or something just to get busy doing something different, something that you've always thought about doing but just never took the time to do it. Facing life alone doesn't always have to be a bad thing. But one of the things that can happen is you start to withdraw from others. Like I said before, maybe feeling like you don't want to be a burden, or you just fall into this shell of self-pity. Recognize that these struggles happen to so many different people. And we don't like to hear about someone that's struggling and realize, I could have helped them. You know, I could have been there. I remember when my dad died, it was the stupidest thing. He was struggling with all kinds of different health issues, but what actually killed him was low potassium. Just didn't have potassium in his system. That's all it was. But he wasn't calling me. He wasn't talking to my brother George about not feeling well. He didn't say anything. My brother Sean, who was living with him, couldn't really trust him to do anything to help my dad, but it was like he didn't let people know. And then all of a sudden we find out at the end of it, well, it was just low potassium. And how frustrating that is when someone's struggling with something, and it was something so simple. We can get you some potassium. We can get this in your system. We can do this. But he passed away because of that simple thing and not communicating. Please take the time to communicate with those that love you and care for you, and let them know some of the needs that you're feeling. I don't want this to just simply be an informational class. Let's go ahead and open up to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a wonderful example in scripture of women that found themselves just suddenly alone in various circumstances. In chapter 1, we read about Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and they have two sons, and they've moved to Moab. But it says in verse 3, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. So here we are. We've made this trek to Moab. We've made this move, and now my husband's gone. What's going to happen here? Well, she's got two sons, so there's some things there that can be helpful with her sons being able to care for her. And in verse 4, it says that they took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So first off, you have Naomi, who's lost her husband and then has now lost her two sons. And now there's these two women that are with her that are her daughters-in-law, and it's an interesting circumstance, to say the least, for these women. But you see the fact that they become alone, and in some respects, they start to bond to one another. Now, Orpah, just an interesting side note, that's what Oprah Winfrey was supposed to be named, was Orpah, but they switched the letter. She became Oprah. So, not that you needed to know that, but just an interesting thought. And Orpah eventually leaves and goes back to Moab because Naomi is making the case, you women are still, you're young, you can go back, you can have husbands, you can live your lives, you can do these things, and I will just go back to my land, to Jerusalem, and that be the case. And in this first chapter, you really start to see the bitterness of Naomi. In many respects, she's lost everything, right? And she feels completely alone. Starting in verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. But Naomi said, return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. And so you see this bitterness that she has, and she's looking at it as the Lord's hand is against me in my life right now. That's how she feels, and she's expressing that to her daughter-in-laws, and it's just a struggle for her. Eventually, Orpah kisses her mother-in-law, verse 14, and moves on her way. But Ruth clings to her. Notice what Ruth says in verses 15 and 16. And she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. And so one of the things you see is the blessings of having those family members and those relatives and those friends around. Here's Naomi, she's at the point of pushing everyone away. She's lost her sons, her husband, and she's just saying, just leave me alone. Let me die in my bitterness. Let me be gone and all this. And yet Ruth is there clinging to her. And I think through this gives Naomi some of that comfort and that hope and that love that she needs in this moment where she is dealing with so much emotion. She goes on in the rest of the chapter of chapter 1 still expressing more of that bitterness. In verse 21, she says, "I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And it's through this that you see how they begin to deal with life being alone. And Ruth wants to be there with her. Ruth goes out into the field. She's searching for food. She's doing everything she can to find what they need to survive. In verse 2 of chapter 2, she says, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one who in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So Ruth goes off and does this. And you start to see the blessings of having those relatives, those family, the friends in your life. Now, in chapter 2, this is where Boaz meets Ruth. And if you remember, Ruth ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. And it starts here that she meets Boaz. And Boaz is the next, is not the very next of kin, but he's one of the next of kin to her husband, who had died. And so he, through this relationship that begins to form here in chapter 2 and moves on, he gets to know her. He gets to the point where he's really falling for her, and he wants to redeem her. He wants to be that one that redeems her from her husband who had passed. But the problem was what? You remember? There was a closer kin that had to take on that role first before Boaz could do it. And so later on in the book, you see the fact that Boaz kind of messes with him a little bit and says, you know, come on and meet me with the elders at the gate, and we'll talk more about you redeeming Ruth, and tells him about all these things. And eventually the guy backs out, and Boaz gets to redeem Ruth. But Ruth continues to protect her mother-in-law. Through this process, Boaz is protecting Ruth, even from those who are working the fields and taking care of those things. Ruth sought refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." And I think that's a big part of this, is understanding you're never truly alone. Now, Ruth expressed her commitment to Naomi in chapter 1, saying, "I'm going to be with you. Your people are going to become my people." And she said, "Your God, my God." And here Boaz makes this statement to her in verse 12. And he says that you have come to take refuge under his wings. Ruth may not have really thought that far ahead when she started this process, but that's exactly what's happening. She is seeking refuge under the Lord's wings, and the Lord is going to protect her, is going to see her through this process, and Boaz eventually redeems her. And it goes the other way as well. It's not just Ruth helping Naomi, but in chapter 3, you see Naomi give Ruth the advice and the encouragement on how to get Boaz to redeem her. You know, what you should do to make yourself attractive to him. What you should do to get into this position where he would start to figure out he could redeem you, because they found out that he would be, that he is a wonderful man and a wonderful provider and all these different things that go in with this relationship. But Boaz eventually decides to redeem her in verses 7 through 18 of chapter 3. Let's not forget about the blessings of our family and of our relatives and close friends in times of need. When you look at the account of Naomi and Ruth, there were great blessings to be found. When you look at, go ahead and skip down to chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It was one of those things where you type something up and it's not the numbers you wanted it to be. Chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wonderful blessings that came about from this situation with Ruth and Naomi and Orpah and that entire family. It looked like disaster had struck to Naomi. It looked like the Lord's hand was against her, and yet the Lord was able to work through the situation that had befallen them and bring about his plan of redemption. And soon on, we read about David and Jesse and all those, and Obed being in the genealogy of Jesus. Facing life alone can be scary at times, can be lonely, and everything else. But blessings can be found under the wings of the Lord. And that's what you see here with the account of Ruth and Naomi, is she sought refuge under the wings of the Lord, and through that found Boaz and became a great part of the plan of God, of the scheme of redemption. If you're here tonight, understand whether this particular theme is related to you or not. If you are in need, you too can take refuge under the wings of the Lord. And we can be, in some respects, like Boaz. No, we're not going to redeem you as a wife, but we will help you. We will encourage you. We will do what we can and pray for you and point you, hopefully, in the right direction using God's word. If you have a need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.